The Republic Broadcasting Network.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stapmiller, with you today on this Tuesday, 28 May 2019. And I hope you all had a peaceful and quiet Memorial Day. I actually, for the first time in years, actually watched the Indianapolis 500 Sunday. No burnt, broken bodies, few crack-ups, but in general, flying around the track at 230 miles an hour, it's a wonder people don't die. At any rate, what to start out with? Well, let's go to jolly old England. And they knew this was going to happen. The European Union knew it. Portugal and Spain are still, and Italy are still watching England. We went through another prime minister. She had a tearful, I'm resigning, Theresa May. Sorry, Theresa. You didn't say Mother May I. And quite frankly, the people in Britain, by and large, are happy that you're gone. You know, I think she was in the conservative side of things. But that doesn't mean anything anymore, folks. You're conservative. Okay, you may not be for abortion, but you're a globalist. And you wouldn't know the difference between aborting a country or a baby, for that matter. Well, Nigel Farage's populist Brexit party wins big in European Parliament elections. The Eurosceptic Brexit Party, headed by former UKIP leader, UKIP, Nigel Farage is looking at a solid victory in the European elections. Early exit polls show placing it at about 30%, over 20% ahead of the Conservatives. The Brexit Party appears to have scored big in the UK's portion of the European Parliament elections, with early results and projections on Sunday night showing it ahead of the rest of the field. Now, Farage began celebrating as the first exit polls started coming in. And he told reporters, he said, it looks like it's going to be a big win for the Brexit Party. Well, with about 99% of the vote in, Brexit has 31.6%, followed by the pro-EU Liberal Democrats. I don't even know what that means. Does that mean European Socialist Communist United? I don't know. Labour Party with 14.1% and the Greens with 12.1%, and the Conservatives are taking a massive hit and are projected to win only 9.1%. Gee, it sounds to me like they're starting to figure out what conservative is versus we're anti-New World Order. Strange. He says he's looking for full-fledged involvement in the Brexit negotiations. He said, we want to be part of that negotiating team. The long-serving MEP added that in the event that the UK again missing the repeatedly extended deadline to leave the European Union, which now stands at October 31st. He will be looking forward to repeating the same strong showing at the British general election, and his party is getting ready for it. Now, the next general election is scheduled for May 5th. May 5th? Oh, 2022. Whew. But may be called earlier by two-thirds of the House of Commons or in case of successful motion of no confidence. Why, is that? That's not kicking a can down the road. That's a 30-yard field goal. May 5th, 2022? Whoa. The Brexit Party triumph has not come out of the blue. Ahead of the vote, numerous polls predicted that Farage's new political venture would pass its first election test with flying colors and an estimated double-digit lead over the Conservative Party. Okay, well, we can play politics here all we want, but it's not looking all that bad in Europe, or at least for the Nigel Farage believers over there and people that have been listening to him in the European Union in general. And like I said, there's three countries that once Britain did its we want to get out of the European Union deal, hot on its heels were countries like Italy and Spain and Portugal and other countries in the EU as well. So this is far from over. It's a realignment, trying to take back really what was stolen. And that's identity, that's sovereignty, that's actual countries' borders. Let's go back to our own currency kind of deal. Let's go back. We don't want to be commanded by some supranational bureaucrat. We can do nicely with our own country-generated bureaucrats. Or at least we can get within stranglehold distance of them. I don't know how you exactly put that, but you know, that was the whole idea here in the United States, that we have states, a confederation under a federal flag for very specific reasons. But these like little countries or states, all except Texas, of course, it still is a republic, thank God, but being threatened by the blue people, Dallas and Houston and, well, San Antonio and Austin for the most part, the major metropolitan areas are gone insane. They've gone blue. They've gone crazy. Well, on the heels of that, this is very interesting. There was a town hall meeting that somebody recorded and put it on YouTube. And these are the people in Ireland that are recognizing and going to their town councils, by the way, and voicing their opinions on issues of homelessness. Oh, my goodness. Say it isn't so. You mean L.A. is not the only one with homelessness? Pretty much all of our major metropolitan cities scattered across the country. You mean the same things going on over in Ireland? Oh, my goodness. Say it ain't so. Well, what's wrong? The world's economy is strengthening, but we seem to have a problem. People don't have jobs. They don't have to pay, I guess, any bills because they're not living any place, and they're not using electricity, and they're homeless. It's a struggle just to survive and to eat for another day. Well, folks, I've said this repeatedly. I'm not interested in surviving, okay? Survival to me, it reminds me of a shipwreck and somebody, I don't know, washed up on a little tiny uninhabited island. Yeah, you survived. But once you hit that island, you realize, wait a minute, there's no water, there's no food. And it's going to be a mission of survival. Well, I'm not interested in survival. I'm interested in living, making my choices from day to day, not having my choices being handed to me between bad and worse and indifferent, I guess. No, life is the exercise of making your own choices. as long as there's choices on the table. And a lot of people are flat running out of those. So all the ballyhoo here about strong economies and, oh, we're coming back. We've been watching the markets for a very long time. We've been watching the indicators on how not only this economy is doing, but around the world. And I guess in a very professional tone, and I guess the apropos word would be, it pretty much sucks. Okay? It ain't good. So this is what the people over in Ireland had to say. And somebody put a tag on this that Ireland awakens. Listen to the people. And this is unedited, so I'll make no apologies if they're... These people are angry. Okay? We did not make this video. We did not record it. If we did, we'd have a little bit higher standard. There's a couple of bad words in here. So if you've got youngins... And it's a double-edged sword. If they hear it, you can tell them not what not to use, and here's a good example, or you can just send them out of the room. At any rate, there is fair warning. This is the people over in a town meeting, and it doesn't say what city this is, but I would assume that this is pretty much across Ireland in total. Sammy, do I got my pot up? We're good to go? All right. Ireland awakens. 2 minutes of the people giving the town council what for on the issue of immigration and homelessness. Listen closely.
There should be more money spent to find a wider variety of places.
Now, let me just clarify here. Town council is saying they need to tax more for immigrants. And people are going, huh? What? Immigrants? We got people that used to have a life that are now homeless. Thousands of them in the streets. You want to do what? They're angry. Oh, buddy, are they angry.
Taxpayers in this country are straight to the fucking floor of this government. And the bloody disgrace of what's happening in this country. They've got 10,000 homeless on the streets, and they keep bringing in more and more people. Where the hell are we all going to go when we can't house our own people?
Sorry, that's really the point. So, I don't think this would ever happen in race terms.
No. Okay, well, where's our TD? Because I tell you what, I'm going to vote with my feet, and the next election I will never, ever vote with my feet, ever again. That is it. I suggest people here tonight, they go to their TDs, they go to their councils, they go to their minister and their junior minister and your health minister, and you tell them that you will never vote for Fine Gael again unless they revoke this, and that is the people of Wicklow.
The minister does not warrant the behaviour of asylum seekers and cannot be held responsible for their behaviour, Minister.
Now, he's reading some politically correct, you know, we can't be responsible for these aliens coming in and their behavior. What do you mean you can't be held responsible? You can be held responsible because you're allowing them to come in. You're allowing people to come in from different parts of the world with different cultures and different standards and different language and different way of doing things. And they're trying to tell people they're not responsible for how they act. No, you were just responsible for bringing them in.
I was born 1941. I'm well and truly in with God. And to be branded in this town as racist, shame on the people.
There's no representation up there for the Gardaí. There's no liaison officer. What is this?
I spent 10 years working in the Middle East, right? Trying to help people out there. You have no idea what's going
on. I'm talking as a mother, as a retailer who's got about 6 weeks left in her business. So I will not open doors in 2019 with this company. And I'm talking as a community development worker that left frontline crisis. Homeless service, 16 years in Dublin, and this influence came in. because no one has any idea of the shit that is about to hit the fan in this town.
And the one guy, I do believe this was Wicklow. I don't know anything about Wicklow, Ireland. But the one guy said, I am tired of being branded a racist in my own town for speaking out against migrants or refugees coming under. You know, don't you think it'd be a better idea, folks, if we quit blowing up Middle Eastern countries that scatter these people around the globe? To quit creating the convenient crisis that's created? Oh, these poor people. Oh, their country's been devastated. They don't have jobs. They don't have infrastructure. They don't have schools. They don't have hospitals. Well, why? They had them before. Uncle Sammy comes riding up in his war steed to make the world right. And you create conditions so bad that millions of people are trying to get the hell out of the Middle East. You know, this pretzel logic that we're being handed, and people not taking people to task. You heard me speak about this before. When you hear the United States and their interest in the Middle East, excuse me, what interest is that? The only interest that I see is you're serving Israel, playing their little step and fetching. You're conducting and doing the proxy wars for Israel, for their greater Israel project. Yes, folks, they want more land. They're not going to be satisfied with just the Palestinian land. They want more land. And how hypocritical of this. This is how weak our media is in this country. That what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians and plan on doing other places in the Middle East is what they proclaim happened to them during World War II. Astonishing. Right there in front of your face. And these chicken littles that sit behind the desk pulling the big contracts, trying to make America believe that we're the righteous creatures on this planet because, well, we send our troops everywhere and anywhere. And for what purpose? Ah, it's that American interest that they never spell out. You know, Israel can stand on its own. Why? Well, they've got billions of dollars. Do you realize in not so many years, we have given, the United States has given Israel about $250 billion. Yeah, you heard me right, $250 billion. Well over $250 billion in the last 10, 12 years alone. And what do you think they're doing with that? It cracks me up to watch these Judeo-Christian channels on satellite and cable here in this country. Oh, the poor people in Israel. Oh my God, we're so overclapped. These poor people can't eat. Well, that's because you keep buying weapons of war. Jeez, you're not even taking this welfare money that we're giving you and giving it to your own people. No, you're spending it on munitions and military equipment and all kinds of neat bullets to blow up Palestinians standing near a fence, on their side of the fence, by the way. These Palestinians are being pretty much shot at wholesale on their side of the fence in Palestine. Now, what we reported on 6-8 months ago about these Israeli soldiers bragging and giggling that, oh, there's a Palestinian boy, let me blow his leg off. It was more widespread than we were led to believe, folks. IDF soldiers taking pot shots at Palestinians, and they're not on the Israeli side. Not that that's a legitimate barrier, by the way. Not arguing that for one second. Holy Moses. Art, hang on. I see you're online here on the phone. Got a lot of news and information to cover. I'll open up the phone lines when I open them up. They're not open yet, but I'll take Art because he slid in there.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are back. Art, you snuck in the back door here. What's on your mind?
Hey, John, you could have kept me on hold. I would have waited until you got to me, but, you know, you were talking about homeless, people being homeless, and this is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. I'm 56 years old. I spent 33 years of that homeless, most of it by choice, some of it because of circumstances, but most of it by choice. And I learned... Fortunately, you know, I became homeless for the first time in 1983. And fortunately, my biological father had already been homeless for 17 years. And that's how I ended up homeless, was I went looking for him. I ended up spending 10 years with him traveling the country. And I learned from an old hand how to survive out there. Now, again, I took it to the extreme and I went 33 years out there. And that's way beyond the average lifespan of a homeless person. It's very difficult. And people who have this lifestyle thrust upon them against their will, these are the people who desperately need help. There is no reason, if we live in the wealthiest country in the world, there's no reason why we should
Art, listen to the arguments you're using. Okay, you're homeless by choice. That pretty much makes you nomadic, Okay. That was your choice to travel around. Of course, you're going to be homeless if you don't have a central place that you're calling home and you're just traveling around. But, you know, the richest country in the world, I don't know that that's the case. I think we're the most indebted country on this planet, in debt. So that doesn't equate to riches.
But if you listen to Harry Reid, the more debt you have, the more wealthy you are. I'm talking about the people. Remember during when the recession first hit us in 2008, right after Obama got elected, and the recession hit right around Christmas, when Obama said during the campaign that if we passed this TARP, unemployment would not go above 8%, and by Christmas that same year it was 10.4, and all of a sudden we started seeing tent cities popping up all around the country because people were losing their jobs, losing their homes. These are the people I'm talking about. And in a country that, you know, we hear politicians talk about how wealthy we are as a nation. Really? If we're that wealthy, Mr. and Mrs. Washington, D.C. bureaucrat, why do we have such a homeless problem in this country? Why are our vets committing suicide? Why do we have all of these problems that we have if we're such a damn good country with all this wealth and prosperity? Why are we having these problems? I'll tell you why. Because we are not what they claim we are. We are very quickly becoming a third world nation.
Imagine how much more in the bank accounts people would have had if we weren't being strangled to death by the interest people. You know, on one hand, Art, you know, you're told, oh, the American dream is to have your own home, you know, have a lousy four walls and you can habitate and wall yourself off from the world and you can have your six-pack of beer and your cable television. And don't forget to buy lawn fertilizer and mow your lawn every week and, you know, the drill.
Yeah.
Well, where is it that people are prospering? Where the American dream turns into a mortgage nightmare? And that means death grip in French, by the way. They got the word mortgage right. Here, you got to have a mortgage in order to obtain the American dream, because could you imagine trying to save up $100,000 or $150,000 for a house? That ain't going to happen, because people don't have enough savings in their bank accounts right now. If they miss a paycheck or two, they're flat broke. They have no savings. They've got nothing. So the financial... Hold on, Art. I'd let you speak. Let me talk. Okay? Okay, thank you. In this country, we've been sold a bill of goods, and the financial game has been rigged. And we've been dealing with it, and when the little scales of equality, income equality, start tipping the wrong way, oh, well, then there's a million apologists out there. But nobody ever giving you, as you've been pointing out, and as I have for many years, the reasons why this is going on. They won't touch it. They're politicians. Go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of fortunate in that respect. I own my land. It's not much. It's 1.13 acres, but I own it. I'm out in the country, so I can pretty much do whatever I damn well please.
So you're not really homeless?
Huh?
You're not homeless?
Not anymore.
Okay.
But I just got this piece of land last year.
Do you own it outright?
I own it outright.
So anything you put on there, that's yours?
It's mine.
All right.
It's mine. I have no mortgage. I have no debts. But it is a daily struggle to keep it. I thought, you know, the day that I would have my own property, I thought, man, I got it licked now. Oh, my goodness. Not even close. Not even close. The American dream is nothing but another debt system. And I found that out very quickly. And it's a struggle to keep this land, you know. And I'm not even sure if I can keep it for another 2 years.
Thank you for your call, Art. I appreciate it very much. We've got to take the bottom of the hour break. And coming up at about 10 minutes, I got Jeff Bennett dropping in. He's going to do this with us every Tuesday for a few minutes. Well, hear what Jeffrey Bennett has to say. Maybe I could sneak in a few more stories before he shows up.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Boy, I'll tell you, the media, politicians spend a large amount of time sidestepping the questions about the banks. The closest you get to any questions about the banks is interest rates or anything like that, not the legality or the constitutionality of it. God forbid any financial show should ever do that or a guest suggest that. It just doesn't happen. And this is our normality. This is the way things are supposed to be. No, they're not. And we see the end result of the interest bearing people. And what amazes me has happened with me and happened with millions and millions and millions of other Americans. By the way, the recession didn't start in 2008. It started in 2006, and it had a good roll going into 2006. 2008 was the supposed banking crisis. and the TARP bailout, that was just a smidgen. That was only $700 billion. Or was that million? Gee, it's been so long. It's been over 11 years. I think it was around $700 million. I think the initial was. And people thought, well, to stave off a crisis, that's not that bad. $700 million? To keep the banks from failing and corporations from shuttering their doors? Should have never happened. Out of the three American car manufacturers, General Motors, Ford, and it was even Chrysler, that was before they sold out after two bailouts. The American taxpayer put up the surety note for them, and they merged with Fiat. Now they're trying to buy up Renault for, I think, roughly $40 billion or something. I don't know. Well, goody, goody for them. But we were told, oh, no, we can avert an economic shutdown in this country. $700 million. Yeah, give us that money. Otherwise, the markets are going to crash. Well, the only reason they didn't crash, folks, was because of the European austerity. And here in this country, we gave them the bailouts, just called it a different name. Trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. And people are dancing all around this issue. They will not talk about it. It's sitting there like a dead elephant in your living room. Not even one that's eating your popcorn and drinking your beer. watching the old telly. There's a big dink, pig-sized, stinking, dead elephant in your living room. And they're doing their best not to talk about it. Well, I've talked about it for 27 years, knowing where this was going. Knowing full well where it was going to eventually lead. But they just hastened the process a little bit in 2008. Biggest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind. They created the problem, demonstrated how dangerous it was not coming up with a game plan to save people and save banks and save corporations. You know, out of those three automakers, U.S. automakers, you know, the only one that didn't take any loans was Ford, because they did the same thing. They took a peek down the road and said, yeah, we know what's coming here. So what did they do? They started dumping their inventory. They did many things within Ford Motor Company to ride out the latest economic storm. They didn't need our money. Well, I'm sorry, the government money, and we're the surety, the taxpayer. For that reason alone, if I ever bought a new car, I'd buy a Ford. I wouldn't buy a Chrysler because it's not American. And even though I used to work for General Motors, I wouldn't touch one of their cars. I understand and appreciate who founded the Ford Motor Company and who he was and how he saw the world and what he saw coming down the road with us linking up with these wonderful bankers. He knew it. When he saw it, when they did it, he knew exactly where it was going to go. And he was exactly right. 100 years ago, he was telling people, this is what's going to happen. So here it is. And rather than talking about Henry Ford, well, what was Henry saying about these banks 100 years ago? Do you think that, you know, that would be a good story? Mr. Ford was not a soothsayer. He wasn't a tarot card reader. He didn't have a magic crystal ball. He just understood economies and banking and business. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And the funny thing about this, when he did his series on the international bankers, There weren't people falling out in the streets accusing this guy of being an anti-Semite or anything else. He was just stating fact. And people accepted it as fact because you know why? It was true. That's why. But now, no. You don't speak against the bankers. This is their wet dream here, folks. The global corporation, we all sing kumbaya, dissolve the borders, international. We go by international law. We can't follow the standard of any one country's laws. We got to make this for all humankind. Wow. How's that been working out for us? In my estimation, Henry Ford should have a national day himself. But that ain't going to happen. Jeff Bennett, how are you?
I am doing fine. Allow me a moment to add something to Henry Ford's story.
Yes, sir.
And how he got so wise about dealings with the bankers, because he had done exceptionally well without involvement from bankers for many, many years. And then he had visions of a major expansion to modernize the plant, to create bigger and better cars, etc. And he sat down with the bankers. Oy vey, they declined him.
Really?
They would not work with him. And part of this was kind of probably payback because, well, you made it all these years without us, so screw you. Mm-hmm. And that is what got Mr. Ford going with his purchase of the or development of the local newspaper, which he owned, which is where all of his writings were. I actually have a copy of all of those.
Yep, so do I.
Quite interesting. Interesting stuff.
In a four-volume set.
And
Jeff, those came from the Dearborn Independent, a newspaper that he bought.
That's right.
And this is a compilation of all of his editorials in that Dearborn Independent from 1920, late 20 to 1921.
Amazing piece of reading. Oh. Absolutely amazing. Actually, it's all out there on the internet, too. So if folks don't have the money to buy the book and they're online listening or whatever, get on there and look it up. It is an astounding piece of historical reading. And look, everything we're living through today is what he talked about.
Yep.
90 years ago, man. Yeah. It's unreal.
It's closer. It's 2019. I think that book, he put those in all the Ford dealerships.
Yep.
And nobody bought a Ford without having that four-volume set in the quote-unquote glove compartment of the cars that they purchased from Ford. And they held to that maxim, Jeff. That's really amazing because that's why I included the three auto companies. Ford saw what was coming. They took the steps to ride out the financial storm. I don't know if they realized how deep and how long that it would be, but they positioned themselves to weather that storm, and they didn't go to the banks for a handout now, did they?
Well, I heard your commentary on that, and that's always been my commentary on Ford. General Motors actually went to the banks twice, and the second time they went was a bogus deal because it was to borrow money to pay off the first loan that they'd gotten from the banks. I mean, you know, what a Ponzi garbage. And of course, Chrysler, merged with Fiat.
Yep.
Fiat is tied up with Alfa Romeo, and now Renault is sticking their nose into it. It's like, I wouldn't want an Alfa, I wouldn't want a Fiat, and I damn sure wouldn't want a Renault. But if you put them all in the right order, you realize it spells the word ARF. So,
ARF.
Unreal. Good Lord, we got limited time. Let me get to that. So it's been interesting watching markets. In fact, I was looking at a headline right now that says, these six stocks in the S&P 500 are down at least 50%, and analysts say buy. But you never hear analysts saying, well, gold and silver are down, 40, 50% of where they were, et cetera. The time is here to buy. No, they don't want people doing that kind of stuff. They want to keep sucking them dry because their brokers make money and they don't care, you know, and the broker calls you and says, hey, we got to get rid of this. I got word, but I got something to replace it with. Well, you just did the double churn and you just paid two commissions. It's crazy. Now there's a lot of discussion about 401s. They want to put annuities in 401s. Oh, annuities scare the living daylights out of me because it's just another who's managing the annuities and how many times are they buying and selling stuff into it.
And
same mentality.
And you're Jeff, just, okay, they're buying something for that annuity. What are they buying?
Well, sure. And you don't know because it's just been done for you because of a management operation. Mm-hmm. Fast figure on some market reports today. Dow was off another 238 points, closed out at 25,347. S&P 500 down nearly 24 at 2802. NASDAQ was off nearly 30 points at roughly 7607. Global Dow, who knows what that is? I don't pay a lot of attention to it. Oh, an up 35 or 0.35 points. Gold, up a couple of bucks, but I got to emphasize this, John, because of a client I was dealing with many hours ago. You can have 30 different websites open that deal with gold or that give market reports, and you'll be lucky to find four of them that share the same so-called spot figure. They're quoting bid, they're quoting ask, they're quoting September futures, next February futures. It's insane. Almost no one quotes real spot, which is just such a joke. It angers me. Up a couple of bucks today. You go to one site, it tells you it's at 1279.20. You go somewhere else, they tell you it's what's this one calling 1282, which is probably closer to reality. But the markets in the metals, palladium was down $1.20 today, closed out at 1347.30. Platinum, up a whopping $1.90 at $802, still over $400 lower than gold. At no time in my life have I ever known platinum to be.
It's always been higher than gold. Always.
Which is an indicator to me that even the rich boys ain't buying the stuff anymore. That's got to tell you something. Are they even using platinum to make cat converters anymore? In those, Ford, Chevys, Chryslers, etc.? It's nuts. Silver is showing flat right now at 1442. Gold we kind of shared with you.
And Jeff, let me ask you a question because you've been doing this for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And when the markets, I understand that we've had the fourth or fifth week in a row, the Dow has been down. It's still bouncing around 25,000, which in my estimation, everything that I've read, that's way inflated. That is not a true picture of the health of the U.S. economy. But when the stock market goes down, you know, it goes down 200, 300, 400, 500 points. In the real world, before, what would happen to that thing that they've now relegated as being a commodity? What we used to consider and used to back our currency, gold and silver. Normally, what would happen when the market took a tank, what would happen to gold and silver? I still got him?
Yeah, I'm here. I move my handpiece and cut you off.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. It's my end. We're dealing with two issues here, John. The massive movement in the markets over the last few years have been indicative of what we call corporate buyback. They're buying back their own stock. They're also doing massive commercial back and forth things. I don't think the average Joe Blow out there is doing lots of buying and selling. I think it's so volatile, they're scared to death. But they get pumped with these high figures. Well, the more shares that trade, you know, the higher the darn thing goes up. So it's crazy. Secondly, I am convinced that the reason gold is staying down is because there are major buyers out there. But who are the buyers? They are Russia, yep. East India, mm-hmm. They are China, mm-hmm. Other nations. I think Turkey is involved there somewhere. India, I think I mentioned. And that's right, J.P. Morgan Chase, who, of course, Morgan the Pirate Chase in that particular instance, have been known, and they've been caught with their pants down, manipulating silver prices for years. But they've now started moving into gold as well. So they're pandering to those countries and those big commercial entities that are trying to buy up gold. It's to their benefit to keep the price down. Once they control the major holdings of it and the markets start going haywire, you wait and see this stuff start going up. But the average person, and I'm sorry to say this, the average listener out there is going to wait until gold goes to 14 and 15. By 16, they're going to jump on the bandwagon and start buying. And, you know, when it hits 18, 19, maybe 2200, they're going to be going nuts buying. And then the bottom's going to fall out. I just don't understand why people wait. And yet I don't.
You know, the Jeff,
I don't deal in metals, John, promising profits.
Yeah.
The profit is the ability to be secure and know that when the bad times really hit, when Armageddon finally hits us, financially speaking, and God knows what other ways, they're going to have the ability to survive. That's the reason they should be looking at it. Now, don't start talking to me about the profit, because it's an area that I don't get into. Oh, if you buy a rare coin, oh, forget it.
We saw that. And you know what? Now let's not be too hard on the collectible coin people out there, because when things are relatively stable, every once in a while, you'd hit a pot of gold. You could buy a coin that would go up in value, and people had. Here was the difference, though, Jeff. They had the money to invest in collectible coins on maybe hedging their bets. Maybe that coin is going to increase. That's a different animal from somebody that's buying gold and silver as an insurance policy. These people were playing. Okay.
Oh, look, I'm not against collectible. It's just I'm not against works of art and things of that nature. But it takes money to get the right type of coin, the right type of collection of coins, not some schmuck sitting at the cheese company or the muffler company telling you that, oh, this coin is collectible, it's non-confiscable, these are the kind of coins when gold goes up, you know, $100, these go up $400 to $500, and history has proven that. Yeah, one brief period of history proved that. The problem is they're selling them common denominator coins that happen to be moderate to very nice in condition, that happen to be certified in a piece of plastic, and they're all said, oh, these are the ones. No, they're not going to do it. I've written an extremely lengthy piece on that, which is posted on Morgana Precious Metals. It's under the Why Gold section, that it's called. I can't think of what it is. Let me get it here real quick.
Well, while you're doing that.
I'm there because I've got a really neat thing to offer today, and this came about because of a long conversation with a client.
All right. Well, while you're looking at that, do me a favor and send that over to orders@republicbroadcasting.org. Board op at republicbroadcasting.org so we can post it.
Yeah, we can do that. It's there's quite a lengthy story behind it. It's called Beware the Ides or Ideas of Rare Coin Dealers. It is an expose of the pirates of the precious metals underworld and how people can truly protect their assets from them.
You know, I can remember being over at Genesis, and I would not deal with a broker. I walked in that place, and I dealt with a broker that says, hey, I'm for selling junk silver. I'm for doing this. I'm for doing that. And lo and behold, the guy that he was my broker, taking his recommendations on stuff that people should buy, you know, the most is for the least is, turned out he even scammed me. He wasn't paying me. Well, I'd get up there and I'd promote something that he was selling or, you know.
That wasn't that guy Michael, was it, up there?
No. No, wasn't Michael. Michael, I understand, is no longer there. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
At any rate, I saw the brokers, I mean, just hammering people. And that was when Jeff, and people have to understand that wasn't today. I'm talking 10, 15, 20 years ago. Oh, longer, maybe even longer than that. And that's when people had a little bit of income. That's when they would make their choice or decision. well, wait a minute, I could buy a new car, we could take that expensive vacation, and people are going, wait a minute here, maybe at the price, maybe I should buy some gold and silver. And they did. These are the people, Jeff, that were buying, remember when silver was like $2.5, $3 an ounce?
Sure.
When gold was $400, $500. These are the people that bought then.
I think it was the year 2000 or 2001. Gold actually was down to 252 at one point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, when
it's,
you see
when it's crazy.
When you see the banks, folks, here's an indicator to you. When you see the banks looking at their stuff that they peddle through their own currencies, and I don't care if it's a I don't care what it is. I don't care what the denomination. When you see these banks moving into gold, that tells me that they have no faith in that paper money, and to be in business, they're going to buy precious metals.
That's a part of it, but a lot of it is also they're preparing the control factor. They're keeping the price as low as they can right now so they can buy up all they want. Once they've got the right kind of control and things go really haywire on Wall Street, which they will, then they're going to have the gold to sell. And oh boy, then you watch the price go up because they'll be sticking it to us as usual.
And it's not going to be incremental. It's going to go boom, boom, blowout. I mean, it's
what it does.
Yeah.
It's not like 10, 12 bucks a day. It'll start out that way. Then it's going to go to 50 and 75 a day. And it's going to start going crazy.
Well, what do you have for the listeners? And I appreciate you coming on because for some reason, not enough people. And let me remind people out there. The Jeff, he's only doing a couple hours a week on the financial stuff for Republic Broadcasting. Listen to his program. We've got him sandwiched in between on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We got Mark Anderson on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you do Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
It's only an hour, folks, but this will give you a glimpse. Somebody that's been dealing with the economy and markets and gold and silver for more years than even he would want to admit. Take a listen.
I openly admit to it.
Well, I'm trying to be kind, Jeff.
Why?
Okay, then I'll be mean. Call this old man because he knows what the hell's going on.
Hey, look, I make it real clear. John, I turned 71 in February. I started my first purchase of silver. I was 10 and gold when I was 12. But you had to know people or have contact because in 1960, people were still looking over their shoulders thinking that Roosevelt was going to come up out of the grave and grab their gold.
Yeah.
And but the laws were structured. And so I was able to buy gold. I mean, not a lot, but gold was 35 bucks an ounce back then. And you know, you go to coin shows. My grandfather knew a lot of people. He was going to coin auctions, and I went in 1960, John, what were we doing? We were shoveling snow, cutting grass, weeding people's yards,
paper routes.
Stuff of that nature.
Yep.
And I wasn't buying caps for my Mattel guns, you know what I mean? guns.
Man. We're coming up on the top of the hour. What kind of deal do you have for the listeners for this network?
I'll tell you what, this came about because of a conversation I had this morning, and because we are going to run out of time, I'd like the customers to, the listeners to go to Morgana, Morgana, preciousmetals.com. Over on the right-hand column, there's a picture of a kind of a hot sea captain. She's kicking over a bucket full of gold. Click on that. It'll take you to her treasure chest, Captain Morgana's treasure chest. This is simply amazing. You want me to hold till just after the break?
Yeah, well, we got about 40 seconds here, so continue, and then we'll interrupt and bring you back over into the next hour for a few minutes.
Okay, we can do that. These are one-ounce silver bullion coins. These are the American Buffalo bullion coin. And we put a package together for listeners of the network to pick up, you know, 8 rolls of this stuff.
Ooh.
And there's 20 coins to a roll. For what they will pay, they would have to pay $285 more to buy American Eagles.
All right.
People wake up. Pulse is what's going to provoke. Yeah, you
hold
got
that
it.
Thought right there. I got Jeff Bennett. He'll be back on the other side for a few minutes to let you know what the price is. And folks, if you can do it, this is the time to do it before it gets too expensive to even think about it.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018.
Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.